The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, again, we celebrate the dedication of St. John Lateran Basilica Cathedral. And every single diocese in the world has a cathedral. The cathedral is a dedicated church where the seat of the bishop resides. So where the bishop presides at, his seat, his position of authority given to him by God, given to him by being a successor of the apostles. And so every single diocese has a church like this. And it is considered the church of the entire diocese. So the cathedral in Lansing is considered our mother church as well. We celebrate its dedication because we are all parishioners of the bishop. He is Bishop Boyer, our spiritual pastor. He is the one who has spiritual authority, the one who is supposed to shepherd us. He has spiritual charge over every single person in the Diocese of Lansing, and his job is to ensure that we all get to heaven. That's the type of authority and job that the bishop has for everybody who is under his charge in a diocese. But today we celebrate the dedication of John Lateran, and a lot of people believe that St. Peter's Basilica is the church or the cathedral of the Pope, but it's really not. It's actually John Lateran. That's where his cathedra or his seat resides. And so this is where, whenever the Pope is acting in a formal manner, when he is proclaiming a new teaching or when he is exercising his authority as the Bishop of Rome, he is seated there. And so this prominence of this cathedral, it symbolizes that we are all in union with him. We are all in union with the Pope. All the bishops across the world are in union with the Pope. And so that's why today the whole church celebrates this dedication of a building. And it's kind of odd. It's just a building. But when we look at the theology behind it and what it represents and what it reveals to us, what God has actually done for all of us. It reveals God's saving work. It reveals God's goodness. And this is why the church asks us all to celebrate this dedication. Because in a sense, it is a temple. A temple is where God resides. If we think back to the Old Testament, and we think about the Jewish temple that resided in Jerusalem, We know what this temple signified. It showed the people that God is with them. That God is in their presence. He is in their midst. And why is that important? Why is it important that God reveal or communicate this to us, that God is with us. Because if we think back and we realize that in the beginning, in the garden or the garden debacle, when Adam and Eve broke communion with God and they were separated, they were removed from God's presence and they were no longer in communion with Him, the signifying of the tabernacle and the temple, the tabernacle foreshadowed the construction of the temple, but it signified that God is not distant anymore, but God wants to be right there with His chosen people. The temple is where all the Jewish people came to worship God together. It showed not only God's initiative, it doesn't just show that God wants to be present with them, but it showed that all the people of Judah are in union with each other. They're in communion. They're offering sacrifice and praise and worship. This act allowed them to be in right relationship with God. And so the temple just signified God's goodness, God's desire to have this intimacy with His people. But as we heard in the first reading from the prophet Ezekiel, we hear about a new temple. Why? Why is prophet Ezekiel talking about this new temple? Because when the prophet Ezekiel was prophesying to the people of Judah, there was no temple. They were actually in exile in a foreign land. They were in Babylon. This once great temple that stood and everybody would travel miles and miles to come worship at was brought to the ground and destroyed. It was brought down to ashes, and all the people were taken captive in 586 BC, and they were brought to Babylon. So you can imagine the people of Judah and their hearts and how they were in such pain and ache, because they believed that if they kept worshiping God, if they kept doing what He told them, they would be fine. They would never be defeated. No enemies could harm them. And yet what happened? Their temple, their glorious temple, that where God's presence resided, was brought to the ground. And you can imagine the confusion of the people of Jerusalem and the Jewish people and the hurt they might experience. Because why? Their hearts were far from God. Yes, they did these external acts of worship, but their hearts remained hardened. It's not enough just to come one day a week and offer these prayers, and then the rest of the 6 days of the week, we're just living as if God doesn't exist. This is what God was trying to tell these people. And so God allowed the destruction of the temple to take place and to remove them from Jerusalem and allow the exile to take place for a purification, for them to understand that God doesn't want just this one day, but He wants everything. He wants to be even closer. And so the prophet Ezekiel gives this great prophecy about a new temple in which arises this water that begins with as a trickle, but very quickly it starts to rise and rise till it becomes a gushing river in which the prophet Ezekiel can't even walk through, but he has to swim across. And this life-giving river now affects the things that it touches. It purifies everything that it comes in contact with. This life-giving water even purifies salt water. And the trees that touch this life-giving water become food for those who receive it, and their leaves become medicine, an antidote to sickness and illness, and people are healed from this life-giving water. And the prophet Ezekiel probably did not quite understand what this all meant. All he was doing conveying to the people, this is what I'm saying. I don't exactly know, but this is what's happening. He probably didn't understand that this was going to be fulfilled by Jesus Christ, by our Lord and Savior. Because in the gospel, we hear Jesus turning tables over, money changers, kicking out all the sheep and oxen, people who are defiling the temple by their marketplace actions. And the Lord is driving them out, and the people say, how can you do this? What authority do you have to kick all of us out. And he says, destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. Jesus makes an astronomical claim that he now is the new temple. He is the temple. Why? Why? Because if the temple in the Old Testament signified God's presence with his people, well then Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, is dwelling with his people now, walking in their presence, in their midst. This is the reality of our God, that he wants to be that close to us, that he wants to be in the thick of it, in the midst of our suffering. Our God does not abandon us, but he understands all of our heartaches because he endured it. He underwent it. He knows what it's like to be abandoned. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to be forsaken by his most closest friends. And then when his side is pierced, what flows from it but water and blood? Life-giving water. And we understand this as the sacraments that we celebrate today. This life-giving water that purifies everything that it comes in contact with, sanctifies us from illness, heals us from our diseases. We celebrate here and now. In the Eucharist, we receive that life-giving water. In the Eucharist, because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gives you his body, blood, soul, and divinity in that moment. And God takes it one step further. Yes, God wants to be in the thick of it. He wants to be in the midst of us. But now, he has even made you a living temple. He has made you a living temple because, again, in the waters of baptism, you are made clean. You are made new. Your souls forever changed with that indelible mark, the mark of God, that God has marked you with. And now God resides in your soul. At the very depths of your heart, the Holy Spirit resides, and you have been made a living temple of God. This is the reality. These are not just good sentiments and like to make us feel good, but this is the work of God that he has done in every single person who has received the sacraments. We receive the life-giving water now. And it's not life-giving water just for this earth, but it is prepares us for eternal life. Eternal life. This is what our God offers to us in these waters, in the sacraments. Yes, we celebrate the dedication of a building today, but it is so much more than that. So much more. It conveys to us the reality in which our God loves us and how he communicates this love to us. This is a building in which we enter. But from this building, life-giving water is poured forth into our hearts in the sacraments of the waters of baptism, in the sacraments of the Eucharist. We are healed. We are made new. We are prepared for eternal life. And now, when we receive that more and more, our lives, which are temples, may our lives be a source of life-giving water to those we come in contact with, to those who do not know this reality, to those who do not know God. May our lives be streams of life-giving water. As our Lord said in John chapter 7, he says, for anyone who believes in me and obeys my commands, life-giving water will flow from within him. This is what God has told us. This is what God has conveyed to us. Brothers and sisters, let us take this to heart. The reality of the temple, the reality of what God has done for you, so that your lives, again, might provide life-giving water to others so that they might enjoy what we enjoy, that they might know that they are loved by God just as you and I are.